Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
J. Paul Getty said, "The formula for success is to rise early, work hard, and strike oil." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a guest whose company works hard and strikes oil. Today's Playmakers company's corporate motto is strive for excellence. With us today is a CEO whose company oversees production of approximately 4,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day. This great playmaker is Jordan Jason. Jordan is CEO and chairman of the board of U.S. Energy Development Corporation. Jordan is responsible for transitioning the U.S. Energy Development Corporation from Buffalo, New York, to its current headquarters in Arlington, Texas, while simultaneously placing the firm in its best financial position since its 1980 inception. U.S. Energy Development Corporation is a privately held oil and gas operator established in 1980, which provides direct investments in energy. Jordan drove the transition of U.S. energy from a solely Appalachian-based producer to a diversified asset base across multiple basins. Under his leadership, Jordan has led U.S. energy to invest in, operate, and or drill more than 2,400 wells in 13 states and Canada, deploying over $1.5 billion on behalf of its partners. Well, Jordan, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for having me today.
How different is the energy industry since 1980?
Dramatically. The infrastructure that has been invested in and implemented throughout the country since 1980 has grown dramatically. Also the focus related to the shale exploration revolution over the past 20 years versus in 1980 the focus on vertical conventional drilling versus the horizontal drilling that we're seeing today is a dramatic difference between 1980 and 2020.
Were we more dependent on foreign oil back 40 years ago?
To a much greater extent, yes. Today, the United States is actually energy independent and can produce enough oil and gas on its own behalf to supply all of North America's needs.
Well, let's talk about the history of U.S. Energy Development Corporation. 40 years old, 40th anniversary, and you have been CEO and chairman of the board for, is it 6 years?
Yes, sir.
Since 2014, you've made a lot of changes in the company since that time, moving all the way from the East Coast to Texas. Talk about that and why you did that.
So in 2014, our founders, my mother and father, Joseph Jason and Judith Jason, unfortunately passed away. At that point in time in the company's life cycle, we were expanding much greater to Oklahoma, Texas, and New Mexico, which ties back to the shale revolution and looking for different reserves and different basins in the country. When my parents passed away, who were founders and owner-operators, worked 12 hours a day to the end. At that point, our presence in Texas was so great, and the staffing requirements of the firm as we evolved justified a move and a change. So in 2015, we actually began our move and our transition down to Texas.
It appears to be very successful for you, moving to Texas and keeping a small office in the Northeast. Is that correct?
That's correct. We still have a small office in the Northeast, and we still have some assets, oil and gas assets, in the Northeast as well. We want to make sure that we are very grateful and respectful of our heritage and our roots in the Northeast, but it was necessary to transition for the talent that we needed to continue to grow and evolve and navigate change management.
How involved were you in the business prior to taking over?
Well, I worked in finance in New York, in Connecticut, and London for my first 10 years after I graduated college. In 2009, after the financial crisis, my parents called me and said, "We're looking for the next generation to become more involved in the operation and the management of the company." So I moved from London, England to Buffalo, New York in 2009 and became heavily involved in the operations of the company. That started off with going and working in the field while we were drilling and completing wells for the first year, and then transitioning back into the office to work directly with my father, who was the current CEO at that point.
It sounds you got your MBS in the energy business by going into the field, is that correct?
The focus was boots on the ground, learn how the operations of the industry work, and then come back into the office and learn and focus heavily on accounting and the structure of the organization.
Then I would think your time in Wall Street helped you dramatically understanding how to run this company.
I think it contributed to that. My experiences in Wall Street were more involved around portfolio management and trading, but my understanding of economics, finance, and the commodity markets definitely helped the transition back to working for an operating company.
Well, currently your firm is in its best financial position. What has occurred to move you into a situation like that?
I think our ability to be laser focused on free cash flow, to reduce our debt significantly. We've reduced our debt by close to 75% over the past 5 years. And some of the lessons that we learned in 2015 when the market or the commodity market crashed were good experiences that paid a great amount of value in our experiences in 2020 as we navigated a correction in the commodity price market, but also COVID-19.
You had mentioned before we started talking that we're not as dependent in the U.S. on oil and gas as we used to be, but it's still something that's very important. How important is it to the U.S. economy?
It's critical. I mean, most products are made or manufactured with the use of natural gas. Most factories are using natural gas versus coal where they were probably 20 or 30 years ago. Most products, whether it's sneakers, chemicals, tires, a lot of consumer products use hydrocarbons in the manufacturing process and in the end product as well. So oil and gas right now is as critical as it's always been. It may be a little bit less critical in transportation as it once was, but for manufacturing and end products, it's still a critical usage.
Well, the name of your company is U.S. Energy. That doesn't mean just oil and gas. So how involved have you been in non-oil and gas energy?
So we continue to look for opportunities on behalf of ourselves and our partners to invest in non-oil and gas opportunities in renewables, solar, wind, hydro. We've also looked at EV technology as well. Currently, we have opportunities that we're exploring, and we continue to test those opportunities strategically and slowly to make sure they're the right fit for ourselves and our partners.
Do you see non-oil and gas taking over U.S. Energy Development Corporation? In other words, being a bigger part, a much bigger part of where you are right now.
Absolutely, but I think it comes back to strategy and disciplined investing, and choosing those opportunities slowly and making sure they tie back to our core values.
Well, you've had a number of wins from your operation and investments. You've turned the company around a little bit with a lot of innovation. Talk about some of the things you have done since you've become CEO.
Since becoming CEO in 2015, we've redesigned the firm. We've redesigned it from the top down, and we've redesigned the board of directors. So we implemented over the past 5 to 6 years a new board. We've the executive management team has evolved as well, and also I would say throughout the all of our teammates and the firm collectively has evolved as well. So change management has been a core focus of ours over the past 5 to 6 years, and we've been very thoughtful and consistent about where the firm is going and making sure that the teammates that we have in place are the right teammates for where we see ourselves going in the future.
You mentioned change management. You took over in 2015. Did most of your people move with you from the Northeast to Texas?
No, they did not.
So you still have a team there in the Stanley business?
We have a small team there, but from our accounting department to our technical staff of engineers and geologists, those are relatively new employees for the firm or teammates for the firm. That being said, we're extremely grateful. Over 40 years, we've employed hundreds, if not thousands, of employees in our office and in the field, and we're very grateful for everything that those past employees or teammates have contributed to the success and the longevity of our firm.
Well, you were apparently being groomed to take over the company prior to the passing of your folks. But how did you develop your leadership skills?
I developed my leadership skills by staying authentic to the type of person that I am. I'm definitely a different style leader than my mother and father were. But I also heavily focus on peer interaction, continuing education. Since I've moved to the DFW area, I've completed my MBA at Texas Christian University. I've also been involved in several peer groups such as YPO and Tiger 21. So I'm heavily focused on our firm and our teammates' continuous education. But also I think it's very important to have peer interaction and continue to grow and have a leadership plan that you execute on.
Were there any mentors in your life that helped you move in the direction you're in right now?
Absolutely. From college coaches to mentors on Wall Street to mentors in oil and gas and to mentors outside of the industry that are heavily focused on leadership. So I think coaching and I think continuous education are critical, at least they've been critical for me in my career as it's evolved, and also my leadership and continued leadership growth throughout time.
We're speaking with Jordan Jason. Jordan is the CEO and Chairman of the Board of U.S. Energy Development Corporation. His website is usedc.com, USEDC. Well, you are second generation for the company. What type of succession planning do you have moving into the future?
Well, most of the I'm one of five, so I have two older brothers, an older sister, and a younger sister that are in different parts of the country. And so when we look at the operating business, it would be great to involve them at some point in time, whether it's the operations of the company or as beneficiaries of the estate, which is the owner of the company. And so my job is, as the CEO, is to create value for our stakeholders across our environment. And so not only are we trying to create value for our partners where we deploy their dollars in oil and gas related assets, we also have to think about our stakeholders in the sense that we do have shareholders, and I represent and act on behalf of those shareholders. And my job as a CEO is not only to create value for our partners, but also for our investors as well.
Well, you have been in the business for 11, 12 years working with your folks, is that correct?
Correct.
And you've been CEO for about 5 years. What was really a turning point in your new profession being in the energy business?
I would say the turning point was 2015. At that point, I had been CEO for a year, and going through the change management of the loss of our founding, our founders and owner-operators really put a lot of emphasis on the management team and how we were going to evolve. And some hard changes needed to be made to restructure the firm for future growth. And part of that is we also have 25,000 investors that we represent. So from a policy standpoint, procedure standpoint, and governance standpoint, we added more focus there. We're creating a platform of growth, but heavily focused on strategy and structure. And so the decisions that we make are made by committee. It's not the CEO making decisions unilaterally. We make decisions as a team, and we are heavily focused on the culture of this company. And the culture of this company 5 and 6 years ago, where my parents were in their life cycle and their careers, was more friends and family focused. This company needs to perform on behalf of not only its partners, but also for the beneficiaries of the company as well. It's a much more global approach to success and strategy than I believe we had 6 years ago.
We talked about mentors a while back, and I'm sure you've gotten advice from a number of people helping you in your career. What's the best advice you ever received from mentors or anybody you were working with to help you build your business?
The best advice that I've received over this period of change management that's occurred over the past 6 years, and to add on to that, Steve, change management during two crises in the oil and gas industry, and now layering on COVID-19 in global impact as well. And so we've had to be very, very focused on free cash flow, We have to, being a smaller oil and gas company, be very wise and thoughtful about how we use our resources, and be patient as well. And be very empathetic when it comes to our industry, what's going on globally, and consider the environment as we navigate through it and make changes or implement actions.
You mentioned the pandemic. How has the company handled COVID-19, I guess, beginning in 2020?
So it's been an interesting process for us because prior to COVID-19 really getting to its peak globally, oil prices crashed. So we were making tough choices as oil prices were crashing and the global economy was suffering as well. And so we made choices that we went back to our playbook from 2015 and actions and activities that took us probably 6 to 9 months to implement in 2015 took us a week to implement in 2020. So unfortunately for our teammates, we cut compensation dramatically, anywhere from 20 to 35%. We froze bonuses, and we had to unfortunately make a few layoffs that were, I would say, activity related. During that process, our team reacted positively. They could see what was going on globally. They could see what was going on in our industry. We were transparent about all of our communications to the best of our ability. And I believe that our team bought in. Between February or March of 2020, after we cut compensation, then as the prices stabilized and rebounded, then we raised our compensation up by 50% of the original amount that we cut. And I'm very proud to say that our team was able to reinstate compensation to exactly where it was in September, which was pre-COVID wages. And so we still have to be very careful and monitor our free cash flow. But as we navigated this, we looked at free cash flow every single day. I would walk into our CFO's office. We would talk about where we are from a free cash flow standpoint every single day. And one of the lessons that I've learned that I'll take away from COVID-19, even though prices have stabilized, the company is doing well, we still talk about free cash flow every single day.
Well, let's talk about some of the history of what's gone on since 1980 or the last 40 years. You've experienced some of those. Has each of those made, as you were talking about before, has each of those problems in history made the company stronger?
I believe so, because I think each one of these problems creates another level of awareness about how important it is to create a resilient company. And a resilient company needs to be able to be agile, innovative, but also has to be focused on the bottom line and cash flow. So I think the experiences that we've had in these different downturns has made us more and more resilient. And I think the real key of our culture is being resilient, being able to navigate those turbulent times, but also still staying positive, keeping our team motivated, but also keeping them innovative as well. So we want them in those certain times to be more innovative than any other time to help us as a firm navigate those turbulent times, but also possibly grow during those times. And I think that's what makes some companies unique. I think that's been a culture that we've tried to embrace in U.S. Energy, is during these times, there are opportunities to seize, whether they're internal or external, you can always get better. And then what we do is after the water has calmed a certain degree, we stop, we look back and decide strategically, what are some of the mistakes that we made? What are some of the positives that we did? And we add that to the playbook. So we know that the next set of rapids is right around the corner. We don't know when it's going to come, but we need to make sure that we're focused on the future, but also reflect on the lessons from the past.
Well, you've been managing people in a number of different offices, well, at least in the Northeast and here. Has that been difficult to do that along with dealing with remote employees?
I think it's had some challenges. I think the technology has obviously made these type of circumstances more digestible and easily to navigate. I don't feel that there's any substitute for presence. That's just my feeling. And I would prefer safely if our employees would all be able to come back to work. But this is a fluid situation that's going on globally right now. And we need to be flexible. We need to be empathetic. We need to be understanding. And we need to... once again, we hope that everybody will be back in the office and be working together as a team, but it looks like for the foreseeable future, we're going to have ups and downs, and we just need to be understanding and empathetic.
How would a listener get a hold of you or the company? What's the best way they could do that?
The best way to get a hold of the company would be our website, which is usedc.com. And I can be reached through that website and always open for, you know, whether it's a peer conversation, if they're interested in oil and gas, if they want to talk about leadership, I'm available. I'm always open to, I think that's always an opportunity for me to learn and grow as we go through these type of experiences, and I would open up any kind of communication to anybody that would like to learn more about the company, myself, or our team.
That's wonderful, and you can also get Jordan's website on our website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com, with a phone number, too, so you can always get a hold of him. Jordan, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Great. Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you for having me.
And appreciate you being on the show. We've been talking to Jordan Jason. Jordan is CEO and Chairman of the Board for U.S. Energy Development Corporation. Thank you very much for joining us. This has been a terrific show. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com where you can get all of our past episodes. That's PlayMakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlayMakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.